Good evening with a look at your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks. The Cayman Islands Parliament convenes tomorrow for the fifth meeting of the 2025-2026 session, with a packed order paper featuring major policy documents, oversight reports, and multiple amendment bills. Among the papers to be tabled are the new public and affordable housing policy and a 10-year strategic plan, the National Attraction Authority's 2024 annual report and Ofreg's 2024 report, as well as two ombudsman reports, one on the detention center and another issued under the Complaints Maladministration Act. Two annual reports from the select committee overseeing the ombudsman will be presented. Members will then move to questions, including several from the elected member for Red Bay on flood risk assessments, planning approvals, and multi-unit development in low-density residential zones. The opposition leader will ask about the average processing time for residential planning applications. Government business includes the first, second, and third reading of six amendment bills covering the airport's authority, auditor's oversight, health practice, parliament management, and the Proceeds of Crime Act. You can tune in to Parliament Live on our sister station Breeze 105.3 or follow the proceedings live on the Cayman Islands Government YouTube channel. In other local news, a 32-year-old man arrested last week after fleeing from police on Soundway has now been charged with unlawful possession of a firearm. He appeared in court on Monday and was remanded in custody ahead of another hearing earlier today. The arrest stems from an incident on the 22nd of April when firearm response unit officers saw the man acting suspiciously in Georgetown. He ran when approached, and officers later recovered ganja from the area. After pursuing him into a nearby residence, police detained him and found a firearm in the bag he was carrying. Cash believed to be the proceeds of crime was also seized. He was treated at the hospital for pre-existing injuries before taken into custody. The Royal Cayman Islands Police Service says financial and cyber-related crimes continue to grow more complex in 2025, with specialist units recovering millions of dollars in assets and handling hundreds of investigations. Radio Cayman's Paul Lacalle reports.
The Financial Crime Investigation Unit, which focuses on domestic financial crime and parallel investigations, dealt with 107 investigations last year, 80 of which were recorded as crimes. The unit also restrained more than $4 million Cayman in physical assets as part of ongoing efforts to recover stolen funds and compensate victims. Meanwhile, the Cayman Islands Bureau of Financial Investigation, responsible for cross-border money laundering and terrorist financing cases, identified, traced, and protected approximately $20 million US in assets through domestic and international cooperation. Of that amount, around $4 million US was recovered for victims or the Cayman Islands government. CIBFI began 8 new investigations in 2025 and continued work on 25 active cases, alongside more than 330 assessments and requests for assistance. Cybercrime also remained a major focus. The Cybercrime and Digital Forensic Unit provided forensic support to 285 criminal investigations, including 47 cyber-dependent crimes. Officers extracted and examined 552 digital devices as part of their work to disrupt online scams, cyber-enabled crime, and digital threats. The RCIPS says intelligence-led operations also targeted individuals suspected of involvement in drug and firearm-related offenses, resulting in 88 arrests. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Paul Akal.
Thank you, Paul. Tomorrow concludes Radio Cayman's coverage of the 2025 Annual Crime and Traffic Report, where we'll focus on traffic. You can find the full report online at rcips.ky. The Mosquito Research and Control Unit is taking its work beyond lab benches and spraying rigs, tackling illegal dumping sites that fuel both pollution and mosquito breeding. The unit recently mobilized staff on Grand Cayman and Cayman Brac for a large-scale cleanup that exposed just how much waste is piling up in sensitive areas. Here's Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin with more.
On Grand Cayman, MRCU staff fanned out behind Progressive Distributors along with the North Sound coastline, an area crisscrossed by mosquito traces that teams used to monitor swamp breeding sites. Safety and Compliance Officer Julius Jackie says the location posed a challenge long before they arrived with gloves and bags.
It was one that was tremendous. We picked an area that was very dirty. It was hard work, a lot of sun, and it was really dirty. But we did our best, and we put our best foot forward.
For many on the team, seeing the volume of debris up close was a shock. Disease Prevention Officer Elijah Ebanks says what they pulled from the bush went far beyond a few stray bottles.
A whole pile of stuff was inside of there. We went down in there and pulled up a whole pile of stuff and threw them away. And it was more stuff than I expected for down in there to have.
Another disease prevention officer, Christopher Webb, says the amount and condition of the trash raised questions about how long the site has been used as an informal dumping ground.
A lot of trash, a lot of decomposed plastic. It was just a bit puzzling to see trash in that particular area at that amount. I cleaned up an area to try and make a change for the future, to at least make other people see that, okay, it's something that could be done.
As we reported on Radio Cayman this week, in less than 2 hours, staff collected more than 24 large bags of waste, filling MRCU trucks and requiring more than 6 trips to the landfill. The cleanup also removed bulky items such as old appliances, vehicle parts, tires, and other discarded materials that can trap water and become mosquito breeding sites as the rainy season approaches. On Cayman Brac, crews focused on the shoreline from just east of Cayman Brac Beach Resort along Tiara Beach to an area known locally as Bikini Bottom, filling around 6 bags with bottles, cans, styrofoam, and other plastics, plus tires taken to the landfill. Staff across both islands say that even with what they achieved in a short window, it was clear the work could have continued all day. For Julius, the day underscored the role of staff not just as technicians, but as neighbors looking after the islands they call home.
I felt part of community. I felt part of the island. I felt as if we were giving back. I'm very much into sustainability and environmental issues. And this felt real. It didn't feel like something that we put on, something that we tried to do. It was real. It was that we were doing something that was bringing our island closer to the goal of our sustainability development and our environmental controls, as we know.
MRCU says efforts like this complement its research and control operations by removing containers and debris that can hold water and support mosquito development. The unit is encouraging residents to dispose of waste properly and take small, consistent steps that protect the environment and help keep mosquito numbers as low as possible. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
You're listening to Radio Cayman's Evening News. The Department of Environmental Health begins the first week of this year's bulk waste collection in West Bay on Monday, the 4th of May.
We want to make this as efficient and simple as possible. We're asking residents to place their bulk waste on the curbside in an area that is easily accessible to our collection team without obstructing the roadway.
DEH Director Richard Sims says they are coming to your curbside, so there's no need to lug the waste to other areas or the main roadsides. You can find a detailed list of what is and isn't bulk waste by visiting the DEH social media pages or at gov.ky. Any bulk waste that is put out after the announced date for your specific area will not be collected, and it will be considered illegal dumping, which could result in fines. The West Bay pickup wraps up on the 9th of May. Then, crews move to Georgetown. In other local news, Cayman Airways is deepening its foothold in Latin America by appointing Airline Pros International as its billing and settlement coordinator in Brazil. The move enables full ticketing and settlement for Brazilian travel agencies through global distribution systems. Airline Pros will now lead commercial representation, sales development, and trade support across Brazil, aiming to grow Brazilian travel to the Cayman Islands and making it easier for agencies to handle groups, businesses, and leisure bookings. Cayman Brac residents get their first in-person look at the Cayman Islands Identification Card, My eID. Last night's information session at the Aston Rutty Centre came just days before on-island card issuances begin. Radio Cayman's April Cummings has more.
The Sister Islands' rollout of MyEID aims to give residents a secure government-backed ID they can use in everyday life without always having to rely on a passport. At Monday's town hall, officials walked through how the card works and took questions on everything from security to eligibility to where it can be used. According to Director of E-Government and Registrar of the Identification Register, Ian Tibbetts, the card is meant to be a practical everyday document, especially for those who might otherwise struggle to keep a passport current or close at hand.
I would certainly encourage everyone to get the card, but obviously it's a real important tool for our younger people who need to travel into Ireland, need to have an identification document. This is an alternative to a passport. If their passport's off for renewal, they have a document.
He explains that while MyEID can be used at security checkpoints within the Cayman Islands, it does not replace a passport for international trips.
It is not a travel document. So it's not a passport. You can't take this and travel to the US or Canada or someplace else as a passport.
Mr. Tibbetts says Sister Island residents will be able to get and replace their cards close to home.
This is something that can be issued and replaced here on Cayman Brac, and actually will be available in Little Cayman, not as frequent, but able to be replaced in Little Cayman as well. And so that gives them the capability to always have an identification document.
During the testing period, Mr. Tibbetts says he has used MyEID just about everywhere.
I have personally used it to vote, to go through our airports, all three airports now actually, because I was in Little Cayman over the weekend, and to at the bank. I've used it. Basically, this is all I've used in the last year, because we've had issue cards because we're testing and making sure everything is working, and it's been great.
MyEID is currently being issued to Caymanians and civil servants, with plans to expand to other residents in later phases. April Cummings, Radio Cayman News.
Thank you, April. People in Cayman Brac can sign up on Friday, the 1st of May, at the District Administration Building from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Finally, the Ministry of Youth, Sports, Culture and Heritage has launched the first ever Heritage Month, a new national celebration taking place throughout May under the theme Threads to Our Traditions. The month-long program aims to highlight Caymanian culture, identity and history through events across Grand Cayman and Cayman Brac. Heritage Month begins on the 1st of May with 345 Day, encouraging the public to wear national colors or hashtag Caymanian Proud Shirts. A free gospel concert featuring Tasha Cobbs Leonard follows on the 2nd of May with a national church service on the 3rd. Emancipation Day will be observed on the 4th of May. The schedule includes carnival events, speaker series, literary activities, and art exhibitions. Minister the Honorable Isaac Rankin says the initiative will help strengthen national pride and ensure Cayman's cultural stories continues to be shared across generations. That's your latest local news from the Radio Cayman Newsroom. I'm Jeffy Ebanks. Have a good evening.